This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
And there they were, lip sync with Funky Town. I sort of like the pseudo-eco version, the Australian version.
Yeah, yeah.
Takes me back to the old days.
Lots of memories.
That's right. You're on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Leanne on Joy 94.9. You've been a bit of a look in the paper there, Macca.
I am. What's going on? Well, you know, of course, we have Pride March tomorrow.
Yep.
And I think it's the 15th Pride March.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And interestingly, Brett Hayhoe, the president of Pride March, they can't have helium balloons.
Why not?
Apparently they're an environmental hazard.
Oh, what, so if they pop?
Well, pop, that? I don't know, but no, they're not talking like that.
Oh, I still like it. It's not good for you, but I think it's really funny too.
But they've bought six large rainbow flags to lead the way, and that should have a good effect. But, of course, there's nearly 100 groups that take part, and the weather's going to be good. And this year, of course, we have, which is fantastic, Simon Overland, the new Victorian, or not new, but most recently appointed Victorian
Since
Police Commissioner.
Pride March, because, of course, we said goodbye to Christine Nixon last year.
Who's pretty heavily involved in the rebuilding from the bushfires. But it's great to see Simon Overland marching. And
I think he's doing a very good job, by the way.
And you know, look, he leads a large organisation. He's got a lot of different stakeholders that he needs to keep happy, but I think he's doing a good job too. But of course, Pride March, you know, 15 years, and there are people that, you know, just want to sit on the sidelines and watch, and there are those that want to participate. There are people that just go to the party afterwards.
Exactly.
It's a great event, and the Katani Gardens will be rocking.
Three stages, two bar areas.
Yep.
Release the official release of Proudly Walking, the
yes.
song that David Peake and Will Conyers put together based on community, I guess, input.
And yeah, look, a lot of people, I suppose I'm not one of them, but a lot of people still question the need for Pride March. And I think one thing that's important about it is about visibility of our community. And as Brett Hayhoe says, with visibility comes, you know, some power, and that we've made progress over the last three decades. But imagine how long that'll last if we become invisible, and that's quite true.
Exactly.
And, you know, very few events are as absolutely have such a broad spectrum as Pride March. I suppose another one is Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which is coming up to 20 years this year.
Yeah, amazing.
That is an extraordinary effort. Yep.
Great.
Lisa and Claire and everyone involved with Queer Film Festival can feel very, very proud about that. I mean, I know it, you know, it's very, very difficult to put together and to juggle all the competing interests, but that is probably opening night, of course. It's one of my favourite Terps and Tucker events. I love it. I love it.
Well, they always have a great film, don't they?
Always.
It's always accessible by all members of our community.
Yeah. So. And I think the fact is that, you know, both of us, you know, we're sort of, we're out and about from time to time. But Queer Film Festival, a bit like Pride March, there's a lot of faces you only see at those events.
That's right.
You know, people come in from the burbs and from the country. And, you know, that's a great celebration, particularly, but yeah, 20 years. What a fantastic effort.
Yep. And just the quality just gets better and better and better. So, no, it's definitely a highlight on my calendar. And as we get closer to March, I think we'll probably get Lisa in to talk about the program.
Oh, for sure.
So,
I think she's just put the program to bed. You know, of course, that starts on March 17 to 28. 11 days of fantastic film. And some of them, you know, some of those films, you think about the, you know, the courage and guts that have gone into making them. We take for granted sometimes the situation we are in here, and it's not perfect, but
especially those from non-Western countries.
Yes, and I do recall I'm just trying to think of the Israeli film about, you know, when they wanted to stage a Pride March and Jerusalem. So anyway, sorry, the titles escape me, but a fantastic film, but basically about, you know, Jerusalem, which a lot of people recognise it's the home to many religions, yet very, very disparate. But the one thing they could, all those religions could unite in was their opposition to a pride march.
Funny about that, isn't
it? You know, you had, you know, Jews, you had Orthodox Jews, you had Muslims, you had Christians united in their opposition to it. Was a fantastic doco.
See, that's our
doco.
Purpose, is to
absolutely
unite everybody, you know, everybody else, a common enemy. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Now, on a less positive note, I suppose, this week there was a serious assault in Elmer Park, and you know, an eyewitness says it has all the hallmarks of a gay bashing, and a police statement said a 34-year-old man suffered a gash to the arm and leg in an attempted robbery, and Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer State Coordinator Sergeant Scott Davis has said police are still investigating the circumstances surrounding it, but they were aware Elmer Park is a well-known beat and considering that as part of the investigation. And the most important thing, absolutely what Scott said, is if anyone is considering going to a beat, they need to consider their own safety. Know the location, know the exit points, know where you can get help if need be, you know, like a 7-Eleven or an all-night service station. Don't, you know, and don't take valuables with you. And, you know, this is really important, and your life is more important than your watch or your mobile phone. If you have any information on that attack, which took place on the early hours of January 25, contact Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or crimestoppers.com.au.
Yeah, I heard Scott Davis and Gabby Tyack, our gay lesbian liaison officers, on Paul Anthony's show on Thursday, and they also had the police officer from the local, I guess, Paran station. And it was a very vicious attack, and the guy actually wasn't even going to a beat. He was just walking through the park.
Yeah.
So it was mistaken, number one, of what he's doing, not that that condones their behaviour. And he, I think he was pretty well rugged up, but the cuts that he received from the box cutter knife were very deep, and he was actually in a bad way. He's in the Alfred for quite some time, so it's a very vicious attack. So if you remember anything, that was the night before Australia Day holiday.
Yes.
That Monday night.
Yep.
So there would have been a few people out and about partying because it was a holiday the next day. Certainly ring Crime Stoppers or ring the Glows if you...
Absolutely.
You can certainly...
And we've had a listener call in to inform us that the film we were trying to remember is Jerusalem is Proud to Present. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Fantastic. Fantastic
film. Getting
film.
If you can get your hands on it. It might be a bit tricky.
Yep. And, of course, you know, Queer Film Festival, there's going to be lots of docos again as well as features this year. Make sure, you know, you get along, and never know, Lisa always has a special pass that no one else sees. A special pass, you know, which is three fills or something.
Yep, your choc top or your triple chop.
That's right,
or whatever.
But, you know, there's lots of good value there, but that festival is well worth a look. And you can always find them on the web, mqff.com.au.
That's right. You're listening to Saturday Magazine with David and Macca here on Joy. Oh, David and Macca, Leanne and Macca here.
Multiple personalities.
That's right. All three of us are here this morning on Joy 94.9.
Cruising for Joy. It's safe listening. Joy 94.9.
Of course it's safe listening, and it was very, very safe at the Arts Centre. A day in the life of Joy. Danae Gibson,
Macca?
Supremo of Joy,
our
General
pizza.
Manager.
Big pizza with anchovies and the lot.
Fantastic. Tell us, how was it? How was a day in the life of Joy?
Well, the only safe part of the event, I think, Macca, was the occupational health and safety standards of everyone involved. Otherwise, I think it was quite an adventurous, bold event on our behalf, because Joy hasn't staged an event like that during midsummer at the Victorian Arts Centre, thanks very much, before.
Very and nice also, venue.
Beautiful. And also because it showcased emerging talent.
Mm.
And if it's emerging, it means generally not a lot of people know about it. So we were initially funded by AMRAP. An acronym I can't remember off the top of my head.
Australian Music, I don't know.
Project.
Yes.
Something. But it focuses on young, not so young, but emerging Australian musical talent. And so we had everything from hip-hop, burlesque, cabaret, through to, well, I'm not quite sure what some of those acts were, but they were all really entertaining.
Fantastic. Now, it was unusual in that it was a stage show, a live stage show, and it was broadcast.
It was everything we could possibly do at once, I think, except we didn't dance in the aisles. It was an outside broadcast, as we like to say, an OB, so everyone listening at home could do so. It was a stage show. There were musical acts like Pash and Franklin James, Mark James, and more. Mm-hmm. And there was a stage playness. I'm waving my hands around, which you can't see. But Stephen Dawson wrote a script using one of his outcast actors and some Joy stars to simulate an idea of what a day in the life of Joy might be.
So sort of like a pretend broadcast, wasn't
it? Yeah. We had the studio up on the stage while we were putting the stage to the studio up in the box to put out to the
fantastic
audience.
Fantastic. So, a day in the life of Joy. Easy, hard. What was the biggest challenge of it?
Coordinating so many people. Amy Bagshaw, the project coordinator, had to harness the energy of a number of our volunteer presenters, a number of musical acts who hadn't performed on a stage quite like that before, a venue, a radio station, punters to come in the door, and funders. So I reckon you take your pick.
It had everything, didn't it?
Which challenge you'd like to pick out of that. She did a great job, and as did everyone who contributed.
Now, how long have you been at Joy now, darling?
13 weeks.
13 weeks, I think she's counting.
Perhaps I will stop counting the number of days. And we had a great night last night, locally having a few drinks to send off some of our beloved former staff and our volunteer presenters. It was a lot of fun. So
it was a big turnout too, which is great. Great to see all the volunteers get along to events like that.
Getting back to safety, there was a moment where we thought the balcony might collapse because there were too many of us, but I thought that that was a nice chaotic moment of joy.
Yeah.
So there's no truth to, you know, one of the presenters sending all the others out onto the balcony so they could get a bit of a free rein about choice of program to do. So.
No. Did you start that, Leanne?
No, I thought it was Steve Thomas, but I'm not going to.
Steve scored a mention during a day in the life of Joy because there was some challenges about whether it was satire or comedy or an accurate reflection, and it was shambolic in terms of how it was presented, not how it was staged, but the joyness of it was shambolic, and we are much more organised and professional than that.
Of course we are. Now, how does your day, a day in the life of Danae at Joy, start? How does that start? What's your normal?
Early.
Well, yeah, brekkie, all that.
Yeah.
Getting here then.
Coffee, phone, laptop.
Yeah. Do you flick the radio on as soon as you wake up to hear what's happening?
Yeah.
Well, actually, see if anything's happening. Probably a good move.
Hopefully there's no dead air.
Yeah, I do. I listen as much as I humanly can because, like anyone who works in a radio station, you often can't get to hear the radio station because you're busy doing the work. I listen as much as I can across the board. My day is talking with lots of people, listening with lots of people, trying to plan and review, work with budgets.
That's always fun.
Oh, isn't it?
Whether it's at a community station or a business or even your personal.
I haven't got to my personal budget, although the furniture arrives this morning. So,
fantastic.
Because, it's come a long way.
For those that don't know, you've moved across from Perth to sunny, almost sunny Melbourne.
Okay. It's a beautiful day today. Mm. And 29 tomorrow. Thank you for the Pride March.
Yeah.
Yep. The goddess has been smiling once more.
Brilliant.
So what's on tomorrow for Pride March?
Another outside broadcast, which is, what we do so well. A bunch of people, I hope, coming to join us to march behind the banner of Joy. A lot of fun. I haven't been to one before, so, Mackie, perhaps you can tell me a little more.
Well, look, it starts this year. You start to assemble at midday, but set off is punctual. At 2 p.m. thereabouts, it's usually pretty good.
The roar of those motorbikes, everyone cheers.
Yes, and there's usually a few fairly strident marshals making
that's
sure
their
that,
job.
That people start off correct. One of the really interesting things is over many, many years, Of course, we had Christine Nixon, who was the first female police commissioner appointed in Australia, I think, but certainly Victoria. She marched, she overturned a ban on Victoria police wearing their uniforms.
Yep.
And she marched with them, and she marched, I think, two or three times,
yep.
Leanne.
Yep.
But huge, huge
the response from the crowd. It was just, I think I even teared up.
I think there's two groups that always are anyone in uniform. Perhaps that's my personal taste, but anyone in uniform that
way too much information
that defies the convention of not being allowed to participate in the GLBTI community, and PFLAGers across the globe. Anyone that's involved in parents and friends of lesbian and gay groups, the love that goes back and forth from outside the parade or march to the PFLAGers and back is one of my highlights.
And I think one of the interesting things, and sorry, a slight correction, they could wear their uniforms. It was actually using the police shield, holding like
They couldn't identify. They had to be off duty, didn't they?
Yeah, they had to be off duty, which was always rather interesting. But yeah, PFLAG, and of course all the way down Fitzroy Street, people are queued up. People eating a bit of Terps and Tucker, Katani Gardens. You know, there's always a bit of a party there afterwards. But it's all the different groups, and you know, of course, Joy has been part of it for a long time. But it's the diversity, and I recall, I think it was a couple of years ago. Not Clifton Hill, Princess Hill Primary.
Yeah, or secondary.
Secondary.
One of the schools.
When the kids there decided, you know, as part of their stance about being against homophobia, that they wanted to march. And the response they got, you know, because it was something that they'd organised themselves, that was fantastic. And, of course, there's the usual thing of you know, same-sex families and all that. But, I mean, it's important, you know, to show the flag, no matter what that flag is, at Pride March, absolutely.
Because quite often there's 100 community groups marching tomorrow, and quite often this is the only time that a lot of those groups have a public appearance, are able to see
visibility.
The supporters. Yeah, so, I mean, it's such an important event. It's my favourite event because it is what it is. It's just focusing on that. It's always a good feeling in the park afterwards.
And, you know, it shows people's level of support. And for example, a lot of our state and federal politicians march, and you know, sometimes people say, oh, that's pardon my French, it's a bit of a wank, but it's not really, because they're actually giving up, their weekends are just as precious as ours, and you know, that they're giving up, you know, a Sunday afternoon to march, and they don't just march, they mix and mingle and they talk. And, you know, that's a big ask for them to do that. It's very important.
I like to think that for a lot of the politicians that have been involved in the grassroots and community contact along the way, that it's not just about them being guilty of self-promotion. It's actually a chance to say thank you to the community that supports them.
Yeah, and, you know, with so much change that we've seen over the last three decades to recognition of same-sex rights, and it's very easy to forget where we were and where we now are, and that Pride March has been an important part of that.
And I'm talking about 100 different community groups, but I think the fact that we've touched on, apart from ourselves, two groups of PFLAG, who have been around for as long as we have, basically, and the young schools that get to show their support, solidarity for human rights, I think that's an interesting range of generational attitudes to PFLAGers are generally older mums and dads and brothers and sisters of queer folk who are supporting in really tangible ways. And the high school students or students of that age are saying, we understand you paved the way for us to have an equality that we appreciate and we're here too, and homophobia sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, look, we've got Sisters of the Order of Perpetual Indulgence.
I was going to say, there's some funny ones in there too.
You know, we've got Out Black, we've got Union Pride, Australian Lesbian Medical Association, Aleph Melbourne, which is the Jewish group.
Yeah, terrific.
The nudists are usually there. I wish they'd iron their clothes out. Iron their costumes.
Things.
A few wrinkles, and, wrinkles in there.
Minus 18, Lick Melbourne. Oh, of course, Bent TV. Joy 94.9. Sakasa, which I think is the Southeast Centre Against Sexual Assault.
Yep.
I mean,
there used to be one where they just had a postcode. It was just this gang of people that all lived in the same suburb that marched as, you know, 3173 or whatever it was, which I thought was very funny.
When I haven't seen a Pride March in Melbourne before, but I was at the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade last year, and one of my favourite floats, because the criticism in Sydney, of course, is there's a lot of corporate floats, and
it's sort of lost that political community feel.
So that's always a challenge. But one of my favourite floats was a man on the back of a ute, and behind him were about 20 people with balloons, and the sign on the front of the ute said, Aaron's turned 50 and this is what he wanted for his birthday. Happy Mardi Gras. So it was a bunch of friends who just took him on a parade because that's what he wanted.
Worldwide recognition.
It's brilliant.
Fantastic.
Now we've got a message for you, Danae, from Lynn, who's listening online at the Melton Library. She really enjoyed the drinks last night and you offered to shout her a drink, but she had to leave and catch her train. She hopes that the next time the staff and volunteers go out for drink, she can share a drink with you. So there you go.
Well, I did pass on that message that I owed her one, and I'm glad that I'm being kept to it publicly.
It's on record now.
I'm hoping that there'll be many more opportunities for people to have social occasions as part of the fun of joy.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, first one will be tomorrow. Next one will be tomorrow in the Katani Gardens.
Woo-hoo.
After Pride March.
Be there or be square.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, 11 minutes to midday with Leanne and Macca on Saturday Magazine. There she was, Whitney, on the comeback trail.
Yes.
Must be. I wonder how the ticket sales are going for her.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember that track and others of hers that were almost, I suppose, became anthems in a way, some of them, didn't they?
It's not in the 80s. This was my little 80s playlist. I filled in for Tracy on Fluoro a couple of Mondays ago. So if you like 80s music, 2 till 4 on a Monday with Tracy is the place to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're actually on Saturday Magazine now. Now, if you remember at the start of the show, we actually said we're going to have a chat with Greg Atkins, his life story. Unfortunately, Greg was held up.
He was held up by traffic and other things. We will have him back for another show, but of course he's going to be doing details with me after the news, but our apologies for that if you were hanging out for that. But we did get to catch up with our general manager, Danae Gibson, who talked to us about a day in the life of Joy and a day in the life of Danae and her furniture arriving, and she's been here 13 weeks and she's not counting.
Yeah. It gets better after the first, 4 months? No.
Yeah. No,
it's
no,
a big
no.
Move.
She's doing a fantastic
job,
an absolutely fantastic job.
Now, I just had a message in that said, hi all, this is from Norm. Oh, no, it's not. It's part two of the email. Hi all, we've had a dilemma this year trying to be at Pride. We'll be at the Neighbours for Black Saturday memorials, and they're trying to, but they'll be back next year. And we'll see. It's as normal. Your gay brothers and sisters from King Lake will be with you all in spirit this year. Happy Pride, everyone, Peter and George. So, yeah, Peter and George, good to support those that went through Black Saturday. I know that the Metropolitan Community Church in Burnley Street's having a memorial service tomorrow
7
night
o'clock.
Around 7
o'clock.
Yep. So you can go after Pride if you want to do that. But I know everyone's going to say it, but it doesn't really feel like a year, does it?
It doesn't. And I actually remember that day. I remember that day. Remember the colour of the sky?
Yeah, it's weird.
And how bloody hot
it was. I was in here. I was doing a show.
And how hot it was.
Yeah.
And one of those days I think a lot of people, for a whole range of reasons, will remember. Now, of course, coming up very, very shortly, we have Anthony bringing us the latest from the newsroom at midday, including a little piece about a pirated CD bust in Footscray, all the latest cricket, A-League sports scores and all that sort of stuff. And he does a fantastic job, as does Penn with the news.
Certainly does. And we'd like to thank our guest this morning, Steve.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.